Kalarananda Swami Maharaj.
Om Gyanatmanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha.
So I'd like to thank Sankarshan Prabhu and his wife, who are dedicated preachers to the Hare Krishna movement, who are blazing the trail around the world and around and around the world. I first found out about the devotees in 1965. I saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada in the Village Voice. It said something about a guru. I didn't know what a guru meant, but it seemed like a very interesting picture. I have enough. And then the beginning of 68, some of my friends were living at the temple in 26 Second Avenue, and I came home to visit my parents in Brooklyn, and I saw my friends there. And they were telling me about how they got up in the morning, at that time around 5 o'clock, and they began to dance. So I thought, my God, they've turned into moon worshippers. And then one of my friends taught me the Hare Krishna mantra, and I was chanting it a little bit. And then I met another one of my friends, his name was Jagadish, who became Jagadish Maharaj for some time, and used to visit here also, I think. Does everyone remember Jagadish? So he was telling me about how he was going down to this temple around a couple blocks from the university that we went to. So I said, well, maybe we should go to a Buddhist temple instead. But there was no Buddhist temple, so we went down to the Hare Krishna temple, which is open. And as the first time I went to the temple, there was a devotee named Burjan there, and Jagadish and his wife, who became his wife. And one big cockroach crawled over my leg. And I thought, wow, what am I doing here? In any case, I thought, well, it's something to do with yoga. I was practicing yoga at that time, 8 hours a day, besides going to college. So I said, well, it had something to do with yoga. So I decided I'd come back again, in spite of the cockroach. In any case, later on, well, early in the next year, in 69, after I was already initiated, Prabhupada was going to come to Buffalo for the first time. And everyone was waiting for Prabhupada to come. And as at that time, I was from New York, and in New York we didn't like to bow down to anyone. So it was rather a burden on my mind most of the time, because our temple was a little shack, around the size of half one of these houses here. And every time you came into the temple, into the building, the altar was right in front of you, so you had to bow down. And every time you went to the kitchen, you had to bow down. And more or less during the whole day, you had to bow down. To do anything in that temple, you had to bow down. And we had this idea, because we had no idea what you were really supposed to do. So we heard that every time you came into the temple, you had to offer a little bit of rice to the deity. But the temple was, here was the altar, here was the kitchen, here was the entrance, and then there was a little stairways going up to where we were living. So if you came down the stairways, go to the kitchen, you had sort of the temple, you had to offer some rice. You came into the temple, you offered some rice, you went to the kitchen, you went to eat prasad. So all day long you're just bowing down offering rice. So after some months of doing this, I became a little accustomed to bowing down. But I was thinking, when I see Srila Prabhupada for the first time, am I going to remember to bow down? Because it was a real struggle with my mind to bow down so often. So Prabhupada was coming in, and I saw him. He was walking down from where he got from the airplane, and he seemed to be floating. So I was so struck with wonder that I forgot to bow down. And then Prabhupada started to chant. He's right in the middle of the airport. Things were different back then. there wasn't so much security or anything. Probably just sat down and started to chant. So I remembered to bow down. And so I bowed down, I paid my obeisances. And next thing I know, I feel this tap on my shoulder. And there is Brahmananda, big Brahmananda. He says, "Help! You have to get Prabhupada's luggage." So my rasa with Brahmananda was always like, even before that, was whatever he tells me, I'm going to do the opposite. So he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Yes, you are." So I had to wait for Prabhupada's luggage, and everyone else went to the temple, and they had their kirtan and everything, and I was left waiting for the luggage. And then I brought Prabhupada's luggage up, and I was coming down. Prabhupada was walking up the stairs. So I got a chance to see Prabhupada for the first time personally. Although I was initiated before that, I was initiated by mail. I sent my letter to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at my letter and said, "This boy, does he have a recommendation?" Because I didn't know he was supposed to have a recommendation. I just sent my beads and a request for initiation. So Devananda, who is Prabhupada's secretary at that time, he said, "Well, Prabhupada wasn't Prabhupada at that time, he was Swamiji." He says, "Well, Swamiji, I just talked to him on the telephone, and he seemed like a nice boy." So Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Oh, so you recommend him." So Devananda said, "Well, I don't really know him, Prabhupada, but he seemed like a nice boy." So Prabhupada said, "If he's a nice boy, I'll recommend him. I'll initiate him." So then Prabhupada walks up the stairs, and I walk down the stairs, and I think, wow, I still haven't really talked to Prabhupada. So then I come back, and I hear that Rupanuga and Jagadish had gone up to see Prabhupada. And I was thinking, wow, they didn't invite me to go up. So I went up, because Prabhupada wasn't living in the temple, he was living in Rupanuga Prabhu's apartment, which was a block or so away from where we had the temple. So then I went up there and I said, "Could I see Prabhupada?" I asked Brahmananda. So I was the treasurer. First thing he asked me is, "How much can you give us for prasadam?" So he said, "We need $100 a day." I mean, $100 a day could have fed an elephant. $100, that was like $1,000 a day for like four people for prasadam. So I said, "Well, I don't think this is reasonable." Anyhow, it was a whole conversation. And then I said, "Could I see Prabhupada?" So they went in, Ray Rama was there, so he went in and said, "Well, Prabhupada's resting." So I thought, well, the gods don't like me, everything's against me. So they said, "You can do some service, you can wash the pots." Then finally, Prabhupada woke up, and they say, "Well, you can go and see Prabhupada now, or Swamiji." So I went in there, and the first thing Prabhupada asked me, he said, after I paid my obeisances, he said, "How do you like my deities?" So they had these little small, well, they weren't so small, but they were eventually installed in the Boston Temple. But at that time, I needed glasses, so I couldn't really see them. But I said, "Oh, they look very nice, Prabhupada." And then Pradumya, Purushottam, brought in a plate. And Prabhupada looked at the plate and said, "Did you wash the deity's plate?" And he said, "No." He said, "Go back and wash it." So I said, "Wow, this is..." Because as soon as I joined the temple, I got two services. One is immediately I became the head pujari. Although I didn't know who the deities were exactly. I had asked Burjan because the deities, when I first came to the temples, they had the deities on a bookshelf. So I thought, wow, this looks pretty strange. So I asked Burjan, because Burjan was leaving when I moved into the temple, he went with Toshan Krishna to open up another temple. So I asked Burjan, I said, "Who are these, when they made me the head pujari?" I said, "Who are they?" So I think, I don't know, maybe Burjan was sarcastic or something, or he said, "I don't know either." But then I learned at least that you were supposed to wash the plate before you offered the aarti to whoever they were. So I asked Prabhupada when he was there that during that week, because Prabhupada was there for a week, so I had a chance to see him. I go up before I went to the university. Every day I'd sit with him for a few hours and listen to him talk to guests, or he'd talk to us. So I asked Prabhupada, well, who are these deities? So he meditated for some time. He said, oh, that's Krishna, Lord Jagannath. I said, oh, that's good. So I was very happy. I was worshiping Krishna. So in any case, Prabhupada, they brought in the plate. And then they had a meeting of spiritual sky incense. So spiritual sky incense at that time, Brahmananda Prabhu was in charge with his brother Gargamuni. So I had an incident before that, like a few months before that, I went with Burjan to New York Temple, and we were buying some paraphernalia for the temple in Buffalo. So Burjan at that time was the treasurer before I became the treasurer. So we came into, it was that time, 61 Second Avenue. They just moved from 26 Second Avenue. And Burjan was buying this burner, and they had what they called, this resin. And you had a charcoal, and you put the charcoal in the burner, and you start the charcoal up, you put the resin in, and then it would burn and it would make the incense smoke. So I looked at the incense burner, I told Burjan, I said, don't buy that, it looks really cheap. So Brahmananda kind of picked me up and took me outside and said, look, Prabhupada trained us up in business. So Burjan bought the incense burner. So we took it back to the temple, we lit the charcoal burned, and the incense burned with the charcoal. So I was sitting there, and they were discussing spiritual sky, and Birbhadra was one of the devotees, and they were discussing some of their business, and I was shocked what they were doing. And then Prabhupada looked at me and smiled and said, business means cheat. So during that Prabhupada, I had my original exchanges with Prabhupada, because I was quite awe and reverence. One time I was going to a program with Prabhupada. So I had learned that every time you see the spiritual master, you're supposed to bow down, just like every time you see the deity. So I was in the front car, and Prabhupada was in the car behind us. So every time Prabhupada's car would pull up to my car, the car I was in, I'd see Prabhupada, I might pay my obeisances. So that was like, you know, maybe 50 times in our car ride. So the devotees told me that Prabhupada was chuckling every time he saw me.
Got that on the floor of the car?
No, I mean in the seat of it. So that was quite an instructive time. I remember I asked Prabhupada questions during that time when I'd see him. Like one time I asked Prabhupada, I said, because I thought I was a yogi. Before I joined the movement, I thought I had mystic powers. And to a certain extent, I mean, you know, if you were actually engaged in some kind of austerity, you actually get some kind of special potency. So one time I was sitting there, and Prabhupada was talking to another devotee, myself, for a couple of hours. It was very interesting. Every once in a while, Prabhupada would stop and pick up his bead bag and start chanting. He said, if you have any spare moments, then chant Hare Krishna, and then we just chant a little. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And then he'd start talking to us again, and then he'd stop, and then he'd pick up his bead bag and go, if you have any spare time, then chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Then after some time, I was thinking, because Prabhupada was just talking, and then I thought, well, maybe I should see his aura. So I was sitting there trying to meditate on his aura, and Prabhupada stopped and looked at me and said, our process is not mystic yoga, it's bhakti. So that was the last time I ever tried to meditate on someone's aura. And I asked Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, if Krishna is the super soul in our heart, wants us to do something, or if he doesn't want us to do something, how do I know what he wants us to do? So Prabhupada looked at me and smiled and started to chuckle, and he said, you won't know. He said, you'll do the wrong thing. And then the other devotees started to laugh, and Prabhupada, realizing that I was a little embarrassed, he looked at me with a very compassionate smile, just so that he let me know that actually, it was simply out of compassion he had said that. And then I asked Prabhupada later on, I said, if Prabhupada, should I try to control my desire to eat prasadam? And Prabhupada just looked at me and started to chuckle again. He said, no, he said, you can eat as much as you want. He said, but don't fill yourself up to here. And then he started to chuckle. So during that time, I was sitting, it was quite an experience being with Prabhupada, especially for hours every day going on engagements with him. One time he came to the University of Buffalo and he gave a class, and he asked Rupanuga what verse they were up to, and then just Prabhupada just opened the verse and just the book, the Bhagavad Gita, and started to give a class. And at the end of the class, one boy stood up and said, Swamiji, he said, are you really happy? And he was saying it very sarcastically. So Prabhupada looked at him and said, in a very grave voice, he said, if I told you, would you believe me? And then the boy looked at him, he probably looked at Prabhupada even more sarcastically. He said, come on, Swamiji, just tell us, are you really happy? And then Prabhupada, in an even more grave voice, said, if I told you, would you believe me? And then the boy said, in an even more sarcastic way, he said, come on, Swamiji, just tell us, are you really happy? And then Prabhupada had this enormous smile on his face. He looked so blissful. And he said, yes, I'm actually happy. And this boy, there's so much potency in Prabhupada's smile that he, instead of this big frown on his face, he got this big smile, he got this big frown on his face and sat down. And everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. One time I was sitting with Prabhupada, and the devotee, what kind of a devotee, who had invited Rupanuga Prabhu to come to Buffalo and open the temple there. He was talking to Prabhupada, and he was asking Prabhupada, how do we actually know that Krishna is God? He was a doctor, his name was Dr. Lal. He was an impersonalist. So Prabhupada said, well, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. And the Vedas are our mother, so they tell us that Krishna is God. So Dr. Lal couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So I said, no, Prabhupada, I don't really understand. So Prabhupada said, the Vedas are just like our mother, and they tell us who our father is. They say Krishna is our father. Dr. Lal couldn't understand. And so Prabhupada repeated, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. The Vedas are just like our mother. If we want to find out who the father is, then we find out from the Vedas that Krishna is the father. So Dr. Lal couldn't understand. So I thought, well, boy, this I thought Prabhupada would say something else. But Prabhupada said, no, that's all right. Just bring in some prasadam. So I learned that if someone can't understand something very simple, they're not going to understand anything more complicated either. And then Dr. Lal said, he said, Swamiji, I wrote an article for Back to Godhead and it wasn't published. So Prabhupada rings his bell and Purusha Tom comes in and says, this man has written an article for Back to Godhead and it hasn't been published. I thought, well, I'm glad it wasn't published. So Prabhupada more or less indicated Purushottam should look into it. Of course, it was never published, but Prabhupada was very polite and kind to this person. One time I was sitting in the garden with Prabhupada in Los Angeles. This is some years later. And I was the temple president of Dallas at that time. I had just traveled there for Ratha Yatra. I was going to San Francisco, and Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. So I was sitting there, and Prabhupada asked me about the new farm we had just bought in Dallas. I said, new farm in Dallas? And I was supposed to be the temple president. I didn't know anything about a farm in Dallas. Maybe someone had written to Prabhupada that we had bought a farm. So I don't know anything about it, Prabhupada. Where I said, oh, that's all right. And then Prabhupada he asked me, he said, do you see that bird in the tree? We were in his little garden. I was around looking through the tree. I couldn't see any bird whatsoever. So I said, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I figured there must be a bird. And Prabhupada said there was a bird in the tree. And he said, this little bird, it has everything. It has its wife, the little female bird. It has its little birds, and it has its nest, and it knows it's going to get the worm tomorrow. So he said, why are you so worried about your maintenance? Krishna is supplying everything to this little bird. Don't you think he'll supply everything for you? And then Prabhupada stopped and said, are you convinced about Krishna consciousness? So he said, yes. And then Prabhupada went on talking. He just said different things. And then he stopped again. He said, are you convinced about Krishna consciousness? So he said, yes. And then Prabhupada went on talking. The third time he asked me, are you convinced about Krishna consciousness? And I said, yes. And then Karanda said, Prabhupada, these representatives, these little boy came to us, and he told us to go out to the airport and greet God. Because this little boy, whose name was Guru Maharaj, was coming, and they came because they thought Guru Maharaj was telling his followers that the Hare Krishna devotees are my best followers. Because he was claiming that he was Krishna. So Prabhupada said, what did you tell him? And Karanda said, well, we didn't really tell him very much, Prabhupada. So you should have said, that when you see Guru Maharaj, that we're going to kick him in the face with shoes, with boots on. So I thought, wow, that was pretty strong. Later on, of course, someone did take a pie and put it right into Guru Maharaj's face. But Prabhupada was a very strong preacher. Of course, he didn't really mean literally that he wanted us to go up, but just in the fact he wanted us to preach Krishna consciousness so strongly that we'd be able to defeat all these rascal people who were coming, especially at that time, and claiming that they were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada was a very powerful preacher, but one thing I learned, especially from Dr. Lau's conversation, is that Prabhupada, after hearing Prabhupada being in his personal presence, well, not only there, but other places too, but whatever Prabhupada wrote in his books, he also, that's what he preached. If we listened to his tapes, like we didn't have hardly any tape recorders at that time, but usually there was one tape recorder, and every day, the only connection we had with Prabhupada at that time was we'd sometimes get lectures. And actually at that time we didn't even have any lectures. The only way we ever heard what Prabhupada had to say was that Rupanuga would have to call up wherever Prabhupada was and find out what the latest was. And inevitably it was the same thing. Prabhupada's preaching that we're not the material body. So that was his preaching for years, practically speaking. Besides the fact that he would always preach, of course, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada always stuck with the basics. And it's not like now we've gone completely beyond the basics and we have to hear something very esoteric. I mean, how many of us have actually realized that we're not this body? And even if we've realized to some extent that we're not this body, how many of us actually realize that actually the only thing I really am is Krishna's servant? So this was what Prabhupada repeated, the essential philosophy, and he really didn't jump into something very esoteric beyond our ability to understand. Hardly we've come to the ability to understand that we're not the body. What to speak of anything beyond that? When I first joined the movement, Burjan Prabhu and Rupanuga Prabhu, they were the only ones giving class. And in the morning, when I walked in for the first Bhagavatam class, it was about Asvatthama throwing a brahmastra at Arjuna. So I said, wow, this is really an unusual philosophy. This is the Bhagavatam class. And then the only other class they have in the evening, three times a week, was the Bhagavad Gita class at the university. But we didn't have a Bhagavad Gita because there was no Bhagavad Gita. This little blue Bhagavad Gita didn't come until later. The only thing they had was one sheet of paper from Dr. Radhakrishna's book, Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said we shouldn't read the purport, we should only read the translation. So three times a week, the only thing we heard in class was the translation. Deno sminyata dehe kamaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir tiryas tatra namuyati. Not even the Sanskrit. It was only as the embodied soul continually passes within a body from boyhood to youth to old age. So similarly, the soul will enter into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such changes. So three times a week, for an hour, this is all we heard. We're not this body. So I thought, well, isn't there any other part of this philosophy? So for 1 month I was hearing it, and then I thought, well, why should I come back to the class? Because they're going to say, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, so similarly the soul passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by this change. But I sat there and I listened to it and I said, wow, that's amazing. I'm not this body. Wow, that's an amazing philosophy. And then later on, I got some realization how I'm not this body, because Jagadish and Bhagavan, at that time it was Bhakti Bill and his wife Bhakti Irene, we were going to New Vrindavan for the first time to see Prabhupada there. And we got into the car, and at that time we only had one or two sets. We didn't even have dhotis. We had cloth that we bought from the store and cut nylon cloth. And we didn't have shoes because we had tongs. You renounced everything when you joined the movement. All you had was maybe one or two dhotis and a pair of tongs. So that's what we went to New Vrindavan with. So we got out, and New Vrindavan at that time was not New Vrindavan like it is now. There was just like one shack, which was like 2-3 kilometers or miles away from where you got let off, because you couldn't take your car off the road. It was all mud. So I put my foot into the mud, and it sunk down up to my knees. And we had to go 2 miles like this, or around 3 or 4 kilometers. So, and my tongue, I couldn't get it out of the mud, you know. So I had to take my tongs out, or else they'd break. I wouldn't have any shoes to wear. So after a couple of hours of trying to get up to the farm, then Bhagavan and myself, we went up to see Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was living in the attic on a bed. And we got up the stairs, and Prabhupada was effulgent. And Prabhupada looked at us and said, "So, how do you like our jungle?" And then for a few days we were living in the jungle, because if you wanted to go and bathe, then you had to go to what I think it was called Agasura's Ghat. So Agasura's Ghat would mean that you walk down this hill, and then you walk down and you bathe, and you walked up the hill, but there was no stairs or anything. It was all mud. So you walked, you were dirty by the time you got back than when you left. So I was realizing that I'm not this body. I was getting direct experience. And then Kirtananda came to me and said, because we were going to have initiation, so he said, actually one time, first time I went over to Kirtananda, he was living in a very small shack, Kirtananda Maharaj. So Kirtananda Maharaj said that actually Prabhupada's preaching to us that all you need is the little land and the cow and your whole economic problem is solved. So I was trying to think, well, if we brought a little land and a cow in Buffalo, how would that solve our economic problems? But I was thinking, well, that's an amazing concept. And then Kirtananda asked me, so we're going to have initiations tomorrow. Do you want the $10 feast or the $15 feast? So I was the treasurer. So I was trained up by the original treasurer that Prabhupada trained up. His name was, well, Gargamuni trained me up to be the treasurer. So I said the $10 feast, because, you know, $15, it was a lot of money at that time. But they made this amazing feast. I mean, Kirtananda Swami was just like this amazing cook. And they had, so, you know, they had like gallons of sweet rice, and they made the spicy apple chutney. But right before this, Purusha Time came up to me and said, they want you to prepare the fire jugga, and Jagadish is getting initiated. So Jagadish had joined a little before I was, and then Labhangalatik Mataji came up to me and said, I'm getting initiated. That means that they were getting second initiation, and Bhagavan and Krishna and, well, Bhakti Bill and Irene, they were getting first initiation. And they had me preparing the fire jugga. So I was saying, don't be envious. My mind was thinking to myself, don't be envious. They're having you do all the work and they're getting initiated. So they all sat down, the end Purusha time comes up and said, you're also getting initiated. You're also getting second initiation. So he sat down and Bhakti Bill handed him the beads and probably looked at the beads, because at that time, if we didn't finish our rounds, we put a paper clip on to mark where we had finished our rounds, which bead we got up to. So Prabhupada looked at it and said, what is this? He said, it's a paper clip, you know, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, take it off. And then Prabhupada was going to give them their names. He said, your name, he said to Bhagavan, to Bhakti Bill, he said, your name is Brahmananda. What's the name of our devotee from Australia, who's in Australia, who's an initiated guru there?
Bhavananda.
Yeah, he said, your name is Bhavananda. So Purushottam looked at him and said, Prabhupada, we already have a Bhavananda. So he said, oh, your name is Bhagavan. And then Prabhupada initiated them, and then they had the marriage ceremony, the first marriage ceremony. Then he gave Jagadish and Labhangalatik and myself second initiation. And then we had this amazing feast. I mean, the devotees, at that time, they'd literally get intoxicated on a prasadam. I mean, we'd eat prasadam until actually it was up to our neck. And I was so intoxicated, all I did was put down my sleeping bag and fell asleep right on the sticky sweet rice. And then the next day was the first time I got a chance to get Prabhupada's remnants in prasadam. Actually, I guess, well, the first time that time in New Vrindavan. But the plate came down, and the only thing that was on the plate was this pile of salt. So well, I said, it's prasadam. So I grabbed all the salt from the plate and ate it. And it still was salt. And I was drinking water for a long time. In any case, probably one of the most essential things I learned associating with Prabhupada, because I got a chance to see Prabhupada in Buffalo and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago and New York and many in India. But whenever I heard Prabhupada, whenever he said in the books, he also said, when he was talking to people, it wasn't that he had one philosophy in the books and he had another philosophy outside the books, that he was always preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, in a very powerful way. I remember the first time I heard Prabhupada's lecture, and he's talking about, in this world, we only have two activities, hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we lost. And it just struck me as, you know, like, amazing. how Prabhupada presented it, and it became so clear. Yes, that's all we're doing here. We're hankering for what we don't have, and we're lamenting over what we've lost. Prabhupada was able to present the philosophy in a very powerful way. But it's also, if we listen to his tapes and we hear his lectures, we hear him chanting, it's just the same thing as associating with him if we actually listen attentively with some faith and enthusiasm. Although, if we had the right attitude in his association, one could actually see how Prabhupada was very transcendental. We can hear those in the stories. I remember one time I was in Boston. We had just come from visiting my parents in New York for the first time. It was quite a shock for them when they saw me in a dhoti and shaved head and tilak. They didn't know I was a devotee at that time. It was their introduction to Krishna consciousness. In any case, after that we went to Boston, and they had just moved into this new temple in Beacon Street. And they brought ISKCON Press there, because Prabhupada's books were being printed by the devotees themselves. And some of the devotees went to greet Prabhupada at the airport, but I stayed back and we were doing bhajans in the temple. And I remember suddenly this picture, which they still have in the Boston Temple, of Lord Chaitanya with his arms like this in the Sankirtan movement. It appeared to me that he was like glowing. The whole room was full of the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then suddenly Prabhupada walked up the steps, and the whole room was just like Vaikuntha. And I forgot everything, all my anxiety, everything. I actually thought I was in Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada sat down in his Vyasasan, and then he looked at me directly, and I could see, he could actually see right through my mind and body, right into the soul. And that time, although there's no, they didn't really make a tape recording of it. It was the only lecture I ever heard Prabhupada give where he talked extensively about his pastimes and the activities of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. So this is in 69 in Boston. Although they had one tape that was labeled Prabhupada's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance day in Boston. But that was actually at the 68 lecture in Los Angeles. But that was, I remember I was just sitting there, there was so much transcendental happiness in the room. I mean, not only myself, but all the devotees. And then Shradhya Mataji came. She was the pujari. And Prabhupada said, "Why don't fight with your husband." I think Mother Shradhya tells about this pastime in the tape, that when she had her interview, her husband was, I forget his name now, Rishikesh. In any case, I remember we were doing Artik, and all the devotees were crowding around Prabhupada, his Vyasasana, and Prabhupada kept on telling us to go to the deities. But the devotees wouldn't leave. And we finished the arti at that time, because that was the... And then Prabhupada walked down the steps, and I was back in the normal world again. But Prabhupada was very powerful in his association. Although his preaching was quite simple, he didn't try to preach in a very esoteric way. He preached in a very foundational way that all of us can listen to his tapes. But that doesn't mean that he was preaching from the transcendental platform. But he knew exactly what we needed, and we still need, to make tangible progress to actually come to the platform where we could actually become Krishna conscious. He didn't try to attract us by some esoteric philosophy or by some display of mystic power or by some... But he practically demonstrated how to be a simple devotee of Krishna, a humble devotee of Krishna. And he preached very simple. I remember I was at one program with Prabhupada, and one boy asked him at the end, he said, "What's the difference between transcendental meditation and Krishna consciousness?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, we just chant Hare Krishna." That's Prabhupada sometimes his answer things very simple, simply. He didn't try to make everything very complicated that people couldn't understand. So, I think we'll stop there because we're way over. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki. Sankarshan Prabhu ki.
Sanana Maharaj ki.
Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaur Premanande.